Good afternoon. The title of the message for today is Spoke the Word of God Boldly. If I may ask you, as I do every Sunday, can you give your ears to my word today? Okay, please. Okay, that's what Peter did in the beginning of the church. I ask you to give your ears to my word that's spoken on behalf of the Lord. Okay? Would you say you're bold, if I were to ask you? Are you a bold person? I don't think I am. I'm a very introverted person. And I stand, standing up in front of people is not natural for me. It's a fearful thing for me. Okay, I think you could identify yourself with that, many of you. Kind of like, not like a bold person, but what would be an opposite of boldness? Can I ask you? If it is not opposite, what would be the right adjective to describe that? Kind of shy or timid or even fearful? Okay. But what we're talking about here is speaking the gospel boldly. Are you bold about the gospel, or are you timid or fearful about it? Okay. And I thought of this story this morning as I was meditating for today. When I was growing up in Chicago area, this is many years ago, when I was about 14 years old, 15 years old, I go to middle school where it was predominantly white people. And I was very timid, shy, fearful person, and just very confused person, I guess. But I remember one day there was a parent-teacher conference. You know, parents need to come in, and parents need to speak to the teachers about the child. And for some reason, I knew that day was coming up, and I was getting nervous, because I knew my parent, one of them, would come, and he or she needs to speak to my teacher. And I wasn't very thrilled about that. Okay? I was just worried. Would they understand? Will they be able to communicate? And I was not very confident or proud of my parents. Okay? And finally that day came. I was sitting in my homeroom. And parents were coming in one by one. And I remember seeing my father came in. I think he got out of work early and came to school. And he was standing right at the door outside of the classroom, the homeroom. And I knew it was about time for him to come in. And he waved at me. He saw me. He waved at me. Right? He waved at me. Let's say I'm looking at the someone sitting in the back. He waved at me. And then I remember just turning my face away from him. Because I was not very confident and proud and even shameful about my parent. Can you imagine that, right? Can you imagine you being ashamed of Christ like that? Right? Bible says, I don't want to start with this, but if you're ashamed of me in this world, I'll be ashamed of you when the Son of Man returns. Right? Wow. Is that a personality thing? Is that a conviction thing? What is it? What makes you bold? What makes you shy? What makes you timid, fearful, and not very confident? It's no small matter, because we're talking about New Testament church. We're struggling with the topic of what it is to be a church. Are we a church? Are you a Christian? I'm asking you, week after week, are you a saint or are you a hypocrite? And, you know, biblically speaking, there are wheat and tares in this place. Some of you are Christians and some of you are not. Right? And I am not hesitant to say something like that, because I know that is true. Okay? But we're struggling with this whole idea of being a church and being a Christian. And What is the sign of a true spirit-led Christian? You are speaking the gospel boldly. Now let me, I'll let you sit on it for a second, okay? Because is that true? Don't we need to be trained? Don't we need to like go through some sort of like process? I'm not sure about that, because Bible says in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes, right, it will make you a witness. It will. Martus. That's what the Spirit of God does. You want to desire this greatest truth. If God, Jesus is God, and He loves you, and He died for you, and resurrected, and He's coming back, you're not going to tell your people you love about that? Does that make sense to you? Can you even imagine I got married, and I married to this bride, and you know, she's beautiful, and she loves me, and I am in front of you. Oh, who is that lady? Which one? Yeah, which one? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this relationship? Does it make sense to you? I hope this makes sense to you. And a lot of Christians tend to believe, including you, that's okay. And I want to state it right now in the beginning, that is not okay. In fact, that is grossly wrong. There is something grossly wrong about that. Okay? I've been showing this picture of Christians in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century. 300 years. Imagine that. Christians were persecuted. Okay? Which is what we're going to talk about today. What's a persecution? This is what persecution is. Two opposing forces, and they believe in two different things. In other words, they're enemies. And one or the other tried using some sort of force to get rid of your opposing force. That's persecution. Isn't it? And Christians were never, I mean, historically speaking, right, most likely be on the persecuted side. Even right now, all over the world. I don't know whether you knew. In Middle East, North Africa, China, all over the world, Christians are being persecuted and their life is on the line. I sometimes wonder if persecution comes to America at New Heart, how many of you will stand the persecution? Really, I wonder. Will you stand? You have a hard time even coming to church on time. Right? Will you stand? Right? But looking at 300 years, the Christians were burned alive, using as a torch, eaten by lions and, you know, wild beasts. And look at this, there are adults, and there are women, and there are children, right? Christians, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Okay, last week, and today's chapter, Acts chapter 4, is related to last week. Acts 3 and 4 are related story. Peter and John raising a lame beggar who was 40 years old. He's been a lame beggar for 40 years. And in the name of Jesus, he raised him up. They raised him up. Incredible miracle. But it's not really focusing on that. Through that, a persecution breaks out. A major persecution. A government-sized persecution breaks out. That's Acts chapter 4. And we want to see how Christians respond. And hopefully you will learn how you should respond and we should respond if we are Christians, right? So that's Acts chapter 4. Silver or gold, I have none. This is 40-year-old lame beggar. And I do not have silver or gold, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. That's so true. If you don't have it, you will never be bold and tell anyone about it. Isn't that the case? If you have it, if you have something so precious, would you hold on to it? I used to say this many years ago, but it doesn't really work. But if you have a BMW, right? I have nothing against BMW. Wouldn't you want to kind of show up? You know, I have a Beamer, a convertible. Wouldn't you want to, you need a ride? Wouldn't you want to show off something precious in your heart? If you have Christ, you don't think you will... You'll try to be bold and show off? It doesn't make sense, right? So, Chapter 4, they stand before Sanhedrin. You know what Sanhedrin is? Basically made up of political leaders and religious leaders together. It's sort of like Congress and Supreme Court together. Imagine that? I went to Nassau County Court a few years ago when I was a dentist, and I had to testify and witness, okay, for someone else. It wasn't my case. Someone who did a misconduct in dental office. And I remember going to Nassau County Court and and swear nothing but the truth, right? And I tell you something. I said to myself, United States government is nothing to fool around with. I didn't want to do that. It just gave me a sense of that, I better speak the truth, right? But this is Sanhedrin, Supreme Court. All the religious leaders and the political leaders in one place, which means Congress and the Supreme Court in one place. And Peter and John, they stand and preach through this opportunity with boldness. Okay? Let's take a look at this. Okay? Before we do that, we're talking about persecution, which we already mentioned is two opposing forces. Two opposing forces. And there are two opposing forces in this church, in this world. There is. You're going to see it. One belongs to Christ and his kingdom, and the other does not. Okay? Persecution often does in life what the last great day will do completely, when Christ returns, that is, and it's to separate wheat and the tares. Right? It's going to separate when persecution comes, when difficulty comes. Right? One more. Wherever you see persecution, there is more than a probability that truth is on the persecuted side. Isn't that the case? Christians don't normally kill the government. It's the other way around. Right? So with that, let's read this today's story just briefly, quickly. Okay? As they were speaking, this is Peter and John speaking to the people, after raising the lame beggar, the priests and the captain of the temple and Sadducees and came upon them, and they were greatly annoyed. Can you believe that? There are people who are greatly annoyed when truth is spoken. How do you explain that? Something doesn't sit right with you when truth is spoken to you. Sometimes we call that cut to the heart. Sometimes greatly annoyed. Depends on where your spirit is. Okay? Because they were teaching the people. Why? Because Peter and John were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection. It's so interesting. That is the gospel par excellence, and it is being preached by John and James, Peter and John, and there were people who were greatly annoyed. Can you believe that? What kind of spirit is that? Right? Greatly annoyed. And they arrested them. So what do? They arrest them because they have the power, right? Put them in custody. What are they doing? Persecuting them, right? Arrest them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word of Peter and John believed. And the number of men came to about 5,000. It was just growing. Truth spoken, people were growing. On the next day, their rulers and elders and the scribes gathered together in Jerusalem. Okay? That's Sanhedrin. That's Congress and entire Supreme Court together. Can you picture for a moment? Let's say you are sitting before Supreme Court right now. You're on trial. How'd you feel? Any moment, you could be stoned to death. Stoned to death. Because that's the situation. Okay? How'd you feel? I just told you when I went to Nassau County court, it just makes me, I better behave here. You know? Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, we read these names from the Gospels, right? Annas and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all the high priest family were there. Entire family was there. This is a corrupted family, right? And this is the family who killed Jesus as a blasphemer, right? And they went, they had set them in the midst and inquired, by what power and by what name are you doing this? Imagine that intimidation and threat. The Supreme Court asking you, by what power, what reason are you doing this? You say one thing wrong, you could be put to death right away. That's the situation. But I want to explain what Sadducees believe, okay? You heard of this. This is one of the sects of Judaism at the time. And this is what they believed, okay? Sadducees were highly influential, dominant, religiously and politically. So they were the main force, right? With power. And they owned a lot of things. They were aristocrats and they were wealthy landowners. What did they believe? They basically believed and not believed in resurrection. There are Christians who do not believe in resurrection, right? Then what do they believe? They own everything on this side of eternity. They own the power, they own the wealth. It's hard to believe resurrection when you do that, right? What else? In any future of rewards and punishment, in other words, they do not believe in judgment. Do you believe it? Do you believe in resurrection? Do you believe in judgment? There are people who do not believe. And they denied existence of angels or any spirit world. Then what are these people? These are just religious people, right? And they rejected predestination and sovereignty of God. They don't even believe in sovereignty of God. It's all work, my work. Isn't that scary? Inside the church, right? And these are the theological liberals, or I would say outright opponent of the gospel, I would say. Outright opponent of the gospel. Would you look at me for a second? If you don't believe in resurrection, what would you believe? Everything is on this side of eternity. About wealth, about success, about great life. It's all about that. Now think for a moment. Isn't that what we want to believe? If you don't believe in judgment, what do you believe? It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. Now, I want you to know these are two opposing forces inside the church. We're not even talking about outside the church. Please, look at me. Either you believe in the gospel, or you oppose, you are the major opposing force inside the church. Sadducees. Spirit continues. It really does. So the question was, what name and what power are you doing this in front of Supreme Court, in front of the entire Congress, GOP and Democrats, right? In front of the president. Let's see how Peter responds, okay? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, it begins with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if you are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, lame person, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to you, all of you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, they just killed him. He's just ready to die. Isn't that what he's doing? They just called him blasphemer and they killed him. And to their face, to the Supreme Court and the Congress, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, and God raised. What is he doing? You killed him, but God raised him. In other words, you are an enemy of God. Congress, Supreme Court, that's what he's doing. You think this is bold? Maybe ridiculously bold, right? This Jesus is the stone that you are rejected by you, the builders, the religious leaders, which has become the cornerstone of the church. Man, I think about this. This morning I was meditating about this. Can you imagine the tension? You feel a little bit of tension now. Can you imagine the tension in this room? There are two opposing forces and two spirits. Please look at me. Two spirits. Which spirit? One is filled with the Holy Spirit. What about the other one? Which spirit is that? Which spirit is that? Not Holy Spirit, right? And there are two opposing forces. I hope you see it. And then the famous verse, there is salvation in no one else, and there's no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Right? We're going to talk about this inclusive, exclusive, absolute truth. You struggle with that. We struggle with that in this culture. There is many ways to get to heaven. How are you going to handle this verse then? I think it's one or the other, right? There is no salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. How are you going to handle this? You must. Either you reject this, or you must follow this. Right? You know who spoke like this? I think Jesus himself spoke like this. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. He spoke like that. But only thing is, he's the only religion or God who came and died for the sinners. There are basically two paths. Only two paths, okay? One is everything, and the other one is Christianity. In this way, if you could just listen to me. Everything else is work-based. Work, righteousness, salvation. It's your work. You got to do more. You got to die yourself. You got to do this. You have to reach God. You have to reach the holy God. Every other religion is like that. Islam is like that. Buddhism is like that. Everything is like that. Only Christianity is the opposite. You can't do it. So God died for you. That's the difference. That's the difference. Sadducees, what do they believe? This side, right? They own everything. The land, power. And they need to keep it. That's why they need to get rid of anything that opposes them, right? That's the persecution. And there is Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I just ask you, what were they filled? Which spirit were they filled with? Holy Spirit? I don't think so. It's the major opposing force. And this exists inside the church too right now. I want to ask you, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Look at me, please. Please, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it okay not to be filled with the Holy Spirit? This is in Ephesians chapter 4. Do not get drunk on wine, which will wreck your life, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you don't pay attention to things like that. You live whatever you want to live, like a fool. Is that okay? It's not okay. Imagine my wife is here, and I'm not full of thought about her, but I'm always thinking about two other women. Is that okay? Of course that's not okay. And it's okay not to have God in your mind and you love something else. That's okay? You think that's okay? That's not okay. That is not okay. And we act so, just like the religious leaders. We act just like the religious leaders. You know why? Because you're full of that spirit. Full of that spirit, and you need to repent. You must repent. You must repent. Don't turn your eyes. You must repent. If you're not repenting, you are rejecting. That's Christianity. The more I see it, That's the way it works. You know why we have this spirit of... let's just go back to evangelism. Do you tell anyone about Christ? Do you? When was the last time? I want to just ask you. When was the last time you spoke about Christ? When was the last time you spoke about Christ with passion? Oh, man, he's the most precious one. You must have him. When was the last time you did that? Are you full of Christ, then? Are you full of not of Christ? Come on, people. Is that okay? There is salvation in no one else. No other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved is the Bible and the truth. Either you receive it fully or reject it fully. I think that's what you need to do. We're living in a very exclusive, you know, message of Christ in an inclusive age, right? We need to embrace everybody. Everything leads to the same thing, kind of lie and deception. Man, if that's true, this is a lie, isn't it? Bible is a lie. God is a liar, isn't it? So what are you going to do? We're living in a very exclusive, you know, preaching a very exclusive message of Jesus in a very inclusive age. Because of that, we are often accused of being narrow-minded, even intolerant, right? You hate to hear that. We want to be politically correct and loving, right? Really? If you really believe that we'll be politically correct, is loving them? You're let them die. Is that politically correct and loving? Many paths, it is said, lead to top of the mountain of religious enlightenment. How dare we insist that ours is the only one? In reality, there are only two religious paths, and which I just explained already. The broad way of work salvation is work salvation. You do it, which will lead to destruction. And then there is a narrow path of faith in our only Savior leading to eternal life. And I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening. And leading you to repentance. You got to turn. You got to turn. You are not righteous. You got to turn. You are not righteous. There is none righteous, Bible says. And you can have one wife and few concubines in your life. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. Don't be ridiculously be deceived. Don't do that. Okay? So, what did they do in order that, you know, this entire... Supreme Court and Congress, in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let's warn them, let's threat them, okay? Can you imagine the threat from U.S. government? Speak not to me, let's say. I'll be urinating, right? I won't be able to do that, right? Let's warn them and speak no more to anyone in his name. So they call them and charge them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, okay? Don't ever speak about Jesus. Okay? He threatened them. They threatened them. But Peter and John answered them. This is classic. Would you pay attention to this? Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you in the sight of God or listen to him. Which is right? You judge. Okay? Can I just tell you? Can I just ask you? In Peter and James's mind, who is the main audience? It's God, isn't it? Can I just ask you, who is your main audience in your life? Your main audience. I think that's what it is. Whether you're going to be bold or the way you're going to be ashamed. What's ashamed? I don't want these people to think that I'm a jerk because I love Jesus. So I fear men more than God. That's what it is. Isn't it? I was ashamed of my parent. Even to this day, God makes me remember that. That's my makeup. That's who I am. That's kind of idiot I am. Right? So this is why I turn my face away from him. Who's that? Who? Which one? Right? Come on, people. If you're ashamed of me, Jesus is saying, I'll be ashamed of you. I don't think he's saying that to just threaten you. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. What is that? A witness. A witness must tell the world what we have seen and what we have heard. And Holy Spirit makes you a witness if you have holiness, Holy Spirit in you. I really mean that. If you have Holy Spirit in you. Don't confuse. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm trying to clarify you. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will not be ashamed of it. You want to be boldly speak about it. Don't you think? If you love your wife, wouldn't you want to tell other people about your wife? You would say, oh, I don't know this woman. She's old. She's getting... Would you do that? So, they couldn't do anything, so they further threatened them. And they let him go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For they were praising God and what they have happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Something significant was happened. And he's alive. He's standing right there. So they couldn't do anything. So they just say, don't do it. Threaten them. And then let them go. Okay? But that's not the end of the story. Church, listen to this story. Listen to, and see what happened to the church afterward, okay? This is what happened, quickly. When Peter and John were released, they went to their friends and reported that chief priests and elders had said to them, okay? They're threatening us not to do this. Persecution is coming. When they heard it, they lift their voice together to God. You know what they're doing? They're praying, okay? They're praying. Okay, what do they pray? Do you pray? Really, I'm asking you, do you pray? What do you pray for? This side of eternity thing or this side of eternity thing? This side of eternity, Sadducee spirit. Sadducee spirit. This side of eternity, Holy Spirit, Jesus spirit. What do you pray for? See, let's see what they pray for, okay? They prayed. So do whatever, they're praying to God. So do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants, to us, to speak, to continue to speak your word with all boldness. How many of you pray something like this? That you pray that, Lord, that I may be able to speak the word of God boldly with my all boldness in front of my workers, in front of my co-laborers, in front of my families. How many of you do pray that? How many of you desire that? Let's desire that first. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you desire it? You would not desire it if you have a couple of other loves in your life. You would not even desire it. That's why you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. There's all these filth and sin in your life. Sin will hinder you from desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Because they are competing things. This love, true love, or this pseudo love. This is sweet. That's why. That's why you cannot tell the world about your wife. Continue to speak your word with boldness. They pray that. Okay, what happened then? When they had prayed, the place which was they gathered together was shaken. And imagine this place shaken. Do you fear God, people? Do you fear God? Do you fear that you will stand one day before the Lord? I must remind you this. Do you know you're going to be standing before the Almighty one day? Do you know that, youth group? You too. Oh, we'll have a curve because we're youth group students. No, you're not. You're not going to have any curve. You're not going to have any curve. There's only one way to stand before the holiness of God. You must be holy. Okay? The place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. You know how you could be continue to share Christ with boldness? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's it. Prayer, repentance, filled with the Holy Spirit, being a witness, they go together. Read the Bible, please. And opposite is true, which is whatever I just mentioned. Prayer, desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, witnessing Christ, and bold, they all go together. Do you know why you're not bold? Either you don't have the Spirit or you're living in sin. You know you don't have the desire. You just don't have the desire. Okay? What else? There are byproducts. What happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they continue to speak the word of God with boldness. And there are byproducts, much more, but I'm just going to share one thing. Now, the full number of those who believed the church were one heart and one soul, one spirit. You want to see a unity of the church? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with Sadducee spirit, we're going to fight till the end. Sadducee spirit. It's about power, it's about money, it's about my self-absorption. Anything come against me, I'm going to have to destroy you. Isn't that what we see in the church? Isn't that what we see in the church? Why do church fight? In the Spirit of God? For the glory of God? Bible says it clearly, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll be persecuted. Bible says, give your ears, please. Okay? Please. You'll be persecuted. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. In other words, you must take up your cross. I want to finish with this, okay? I was thinking about this this scene right here. Yeah, right here. Entire Congress and the Supreme Court threatening you. Okay? Entire Congress and Supreme Court threatening you. You could either yield and recant and live. Or you be bold and speak the truth. And man, when I look at this, this reminded of Jesus. Doesn't it remind of Jesus? He stood before Sanhedrin. He was being threatened. Are you the king of the Jews? What is the truth? Remember that? Just a few days ago, maybe a few months ago. And they killed him. Threatened him and killed him. Sadducee spirit. Not spirit of God. They killed him. Now, James and Peter, John and Peter standing. Same situation, no? And I was reminded of, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I was reminded of that. I think that's what they're doing. Those Christians who live godly, Christ-centered lives will inevitably come into conflict with a satanic world system, which is the world that we are living in right now. You need to be inclusive. You need to love everybody. All religion leads to the same God. And what do we do with the scripture? What do we do with the cross? What do we do with the resurrection? You must make up your mind. We need to preach the exclusive message with most inclusive lifestyle, which is the love of God. It's the love of God. But without that message, you will never be loving other people as you we need to love others. We'll never do that. Okay? Friends, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be able to speak the truth boldly? Do you have the desire? Do you want to let go and repent? Or you want to just continue to live that foolish way of living, following the sinful way of living? It's one or the other. You must repent and turn around. There is no other way. They always go together. Repentance, spirit, desire to share, and true freedom. They always go together. Let's pray.